You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Wednesday, 31 July. We've got a Fed rate decision, 8 p.m. tonight. No change expected. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Kia Molefe. Touch on that very strong. Well, touch on the good ShopRite full year update. Did see the share trade above 300 Rand for the first time, although it couldn't hold on and closed slightly below. But still, all-time highs. It was Smart from Orion Minerals. So they did their private client capital raise. It's almost 100 million ZAR. Talk around that and plans for the money. Dina Zoccolo, Head Investor Solutions at Westbrook Alternative Asset Management. They've got a private credit fund. Great fund. What happens as rates start to come down? Does that yield, which is currently 9% in sterling, also come lower? The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb. Saab to finish 100 billion rand transfer to Treasury soon. And the Reserve Bank sees inflation resting at the 4.5% midpoint in 2025 and 26. Business Day, US agrees to revival of bilateral trade agreement with SA. Benefits would be in addition to AGOA, says Minister Parks Tau on his return from the Washington. Morning markets, US was red, S&P down 0.5%, NASDAQ off 1.4%. Over in the East, actually mostly green, Sydney up 1%, Tokyo the exception, down 0.4%, Hong Kong up 2.1%, and Tencent up 2.8%. Commodities mixed, gold 2,463, Brent is red at 79.45, platinum green 978, palladium red 889. Rand 18.29. Bitcoin 66,000. Top 40 opening call, almost 200 points to the green. That's a quarter of a percent on the upside.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Tony now with Kia Molefe, independent analyst. Kia, appreciate the early morning time. The ShopRite, and I was going to say eagerly anticipated, but maybe that was only really me who was eager for it. Revenue up 12% at just above 240 billion. Like-for-like sales up 6.3%. A good number from, truthfully, a food retailer from which I think we expect good numbers.
Morning, Simon. Certainly, ShopRite has delivered a remarkable performance in its core South African supermarkets business. One of the key factors contributing to the success is their aggressive expansion strategy. The company opened 201 new stores, bringing its total to 2,322. And this rapid expansion has significantly increased their market presence and customer reach. And I think expanding their footprint in both urban and rural areas has allowed them to cater to a broader customer base and tap into new markets. Moreover, their online sales through Checkers 60 jumped by 58%, reflecting a strong consumer shift towards online shopping. The surge in online sales has been crucial in maintaining growth momentum. I think with the increasing trend of convenience shopping, ShopRite's investment in digital platforms has paid off and enabling them to capture a larger share of the online market. Like you've mentioned, their like-for-like sales, which exclude the impact of new stores, grew by 6%, closely matching the selling inflation of 5.8%. And this indicates that ShopRite's growth is it's not solely dependent on new store openings, but also on increased customer spending in existing stores. And I think this suggests a healthy demand and strong customer loyalty towards their brands. Another significant aspect is their ability to manage price increases effectively.
Yeah,
they've managed to reduce price hikes from 7.7% in the first half of the financial year to 3% by year end. And this price stability has likely played a role in retaining customer loyalty and attracting new shoppers. By controlling internal inflation, they've positioned themselves as a cost-effective choice for consumers during tough economic times. Another thing I want to comment on is their operational efficiency, which I find quite commendable. They've significantly reduced their diesel spending from 1.3 billion rands to 754 million you know, despite dealing with severe load shedding. And I think this decrease is a testament to their effective energy management strategies. And on the market front, ShopRite's shares have risen by over 15% in the past year, bringing their market valuation to approximately 176 billion rand on the JSE. And this outpaces some of their competitors, reflecting strong investor confidence in the company's strategy and performance. I think their effective management of price increases and operational costs demonstrates strong leadership and adaptability, which bodes well for the future growth prospects.
I take your point, and absolutely. I mean, they touched all the numbers. What stood out for me as well is all the little brands are opening. Pet Shop Science added 33 stores. They've now got 86. I don't think I've seen one of those. Checkers Outdoor added another 14. Unique added 13. And Little Me, which I'd never heard of. Well, it's only got 12 stores. The other brands which they are trying. Kemalefe, independent analyst, appreciate the early morning time. And that's our poll today on LinkedIn and Twitter. Certainly trading above 300 for the first time. Are you holding what I think we can all agree is South Africa's top food retailer? Have your say, have your vote, LinkedIn and Twitter.
Your Money knows it's not just about the money. It's about your returns, returning the favor and empowering people. Your Money can do more to change the narrative. Beyond delivering consistent returns, investing in the Stanlib Kanyisa Impact Investment Fund can help eradicate poverty and protect the environment. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Errol Smart, CEO of Orion Minerals. Errol, good to chat again. You made the announcement yesterday around the capital raise that you had been doing. It was 7.7 million Australian dollars. That's around 92 million ZAR. The difference here is rather than going to the sort of traditional big asset managers and investors, you actually did this via the sort of smaller mom and pop investors in Australia and South Africa, and were hugely successful. What, 513 million shares issued?
Yeah, good morning, Simon. Good chatting again. It was actually a two-step process. The 92 million ZAR was done via institutional investors. Mm-hmm. Again, majority South African, and we actually announced this morning that Fairtree Asset Management out of the Cape have become a substantial shareholder as part of that. But then we followed it up with a instrument that's commonly used in Australia, share purchase plan, where all your retail investors get an opportunity to participate. And commonly you do it as a follow-on to a capital raise, and you offer all your shareholders the chance of following on the same terms as the new shareholders that have come in. And we just realized we were getting a lot of questions from our retail shareholders, and 95% of them are South African. And saying, you know, we get excluded, we being those investors that are really supportive on the JSE, they get excluded from the opportunity when we do capital raises, so they can only buy on markets, whereas the institutional investors put the money into the company and the company gets the benefit of it. So we've found a way of offering it on the JSE. We are dual listed, of course, so you're getting South African investors buying into an Australian company trading both on the Australian Stock Exchange and the JSE. And it was very well taken up, and it shows the appetite of South African retail investors.
It absolutely does. And your Fairtree, which of course is not on the JSE yet because the JSE is not yet awake, but out in ASX they've up to stake 6.34%. The South African register, you say that there's actually more shareholders because of course it's dual listed, but most of them are sitting in South Africa rather than in Australia.
Yeah, as of this morning, we are 50% JSE, 50% ASX. But the JSE is really the South Africans. The foreigners all hold via the Australian Stock Exchange, and the South Africans hold via the JSE.
Okay, I suppose it makes some sense, but it is ultimately shareholders are shareholders. Interesting to see where they come from. What are the plans for the process? I mean, you've got the assets in the Northern Cape. We've chatted before. I mean, we know that the minerals are there. That is not the challenge. We've been mining in that part of the country for forever and a day. Copper, zinc, other different minerals as well. Your plans for the proceeds?
Yeah, look, we're busy finalizing our two bankable feasibility studies for both Prieska and OKIP in the next month or two. Those will be going out, and then we're already in discussions with the financing institutions, the banks, the streaming finance people, royalty finance, offtake-related finance. So there's a bit of a grind that a person has to go through now to secure the total finance. And this gave us the money to continue the work. You know, we've established the mine site at Prieska. You know, I was just reading with interest this morning how Harmony have got grant funding from the Queensland government in Australia. So you've got a South African company that goes over to Australia, gets 250 million rands worth of grant funding from the Queensland government to establish a mine site. Well, you know, that's what we've had to do ourselves in the Northern Cape. We've had to raise the money, and, you know, some of that is coming from the proceeds of this, and continue that establishment. And we're almost complete. The next step now is simply just building a concentrator plant and getting into production. So we're keeping all of that process going. And, of course, we've been drilling some absolutely incredible and very exciting drill results at OKIP. And we wanted to keep that drilling going. We are keeping a couple of drilling rigs going, and we're doing some really exciting geophysical work. And that's the opportunity in South Africa. You know, South Africa has got the missed opportunity because it hasn't applied technology to the exploration and growth. So, yeah, we're very happy that we've got this money in the till. We went into the quarter with a good financial position, and having added another $11.3 million, we're in a very strong position to take it forward while we do this negotiation and finalizing the project finance.
Yeah, because the bankable feasibility study, which is it's not just words thrown around. I mean, this actually is a part of the sort of mining codes in terms of what it is. That's kind of the last step. I mean, not right. Now, once you've got that, now you've got to go and as you say, sign all those contracts and stuff. I mean, what sort of timelines are we looking from this part of the process to getting the funding, assuming all goes smoothly?
Simon, you know, that's one of those questions about how long's a piece of string. It's about the appetite of these guys, and Christmas coming and the uncertainty of geopolitical circumstances. It can happen in as short as 60 to 90 days. It can take 6 months. And that's the uncertainty that we had to make sure that we were insured against. And we don't want to have to rush it. And then, you know, we've got one hand tied behind our back. So we needed to make sure that we well financed for at least 12 months, which we are. And now we can talk from a position of relative strength to these financiers.
Got your point. And that was my next question. How long does your current funding, 12 months, which gives you, as you say, a nice bit of time there to manage the process? We'll leave it there. That's Errol Smart. He's CEO Orion Minerals as they just raise a whole bunch of cash to keep them going as they talk to those lenders.
Your money gives a damn. If it could protest and sign petitions, your money would. But your money can do more than that. When you invest in Stanlib's infrastructure investment fund, beyond getting solid returns, you are helping to build a more sustainable future through job creation and positive economic growth. Damn right you are. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting now with Dina Sokola. He's Head Investment Solutions, Westbrook Alternative Asset Management. Dina, always appreciate the early morning time. I want to dig into some of the details around your private debt fund, the Westbrook Yield Plus. But before we do, you're sitting on about a 9% yield on that fund in sterling. The expectation is that rates are starting to come down. We got the FOMC this evening, but no one expects cuts out of the US just yet. But if we roll forward a year, we expect lower rates. What sort of impact would that have on the yield in your fund. Does that mean that that yield could potentially come down a bit, or is there not much correlation between the two?
Morning, Simon, and always a pleasure to chat to you. Yeah, you're 100% right. It's interesting how things have changed in terms of if one was to go back to the beginning of the year and look at where rate cut expectations were and how they've shifted through the year. I think it's probably fair to say that nobody really knows. But your question is a pertinent one. So yes, Yield Plus delivers about a 9% net yield in sterling at the moment. And the way we've set the offering up for an investor is that it's a cash plus fund. So the fund is designed to float from a returns perspective in relation to interest rates. Mm-hmm. What we've done though, Simon, in anticipation of potential future interest rate cuts, is that we've moved what was probably 80 to 90% of our portfolio loans being floating rate in nature. We've moved about half of them to being fixed rate in nature. So what that means for a potential investor coming in is that to the extent that interest rates do come down, your returns will not go down correspondingly. And there's a potential clever arbitrage to be had through investing now, given the expectation around rates going forward.
I take your point. And I mean, yeah, ultimately, in the longer term, it bleeds through. But what you've essentially done is protect your fund and your investors from the short term. And you've got, it's about 50 senior loans. And what's important here is they are secured. I mean, this isn't unsecured debt that you're providing. It's usually secured by property in the UK, which is about, I suppose, as good a security as you can get.
Yeah, I think that's 100% right. And it's a common misnomer, Simon. I think a lot of people think that private market assets or alternatives, as they're better known, construe higher degrees of risk. Mm. And I would argue that there are many loans which we've made to borrowers which are arguably less risky than some corporate bonds that have been issued. It's just that the risks in alternatives are different. Your major risk in a yield plus type offering is liquidity. So when you invest, and this is an important change to mention, Simon, back in the day when you used to invest, there was an 18 or a 36 month lock-in period that applied, and then you could give 6 months notice thereafter. What we've done to make the offering more attractive to investors is we've dropped the lock-ins. So now when you invest in Yield Plus, it's almost like investing in a 6 month fixed deposit of some sort. Except the arbitrage here, of course, is that a UK 6 month fixed deposit is giving you probably a less than 5%, where this is giving you 9%. And then we structure the tax really well for South African, such that when you earn your income, it's either a dividend or a capital gain in nature. So to answer your question, the risks are different. The risk here is around liquidity. You can't get your money out tomorrow like you can in a bond. Mm. But arguably, the security is as good, if not better. And of course, the big benefit in alternatives, other than higher returns, specifically in Yield Plus, is the lack of volatility in the investments and the lack of correlation to the listed markets.
Yeah, and I like your point. I mean, the alternatives are often considered a higher risk, and that's not always the case. And lock-in perhaps was one of them. We can debate that if you manage your portfolio, lock-in shouldn't bother you, but that certainly alleviates it. You made a great point there, which I wasn't aware of. You're saying that you're sending returns as dividends or capital gain, this rather than income. And we, neither of us are going to give tax advice here, but that is more tax efficient. Income is taxed higher in South Africa.
100%. And it's something that we pride ourselves on at Westbrook is we design global alternative solutions with South African clients in mind. Mm. And so when we design these products, we say to ourselves, what does a South African need when it comes to their return being received? And obviously, tax efficiency is a big thing. And many clients, most investors in my experience, Simon, assess pre-tax returns. Yeah. And they don't actually look at the effect that a 45% income tax rate will have on one's net portfolio return. And of course, you're 100% right. We don't give tax advice, but certainly the work that we've put in, we believe, makes the offering on a post-tax basis sort of almost triple what you could get in competitive products when you factor in the impact of the tax.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Investors look at the return. They don't always take the tax into account, but that tax can, it can slice a big chunk off. Dina Sokolo, Westbrook Alternative Asset Management. Appreciate the early morning time. That's it for today. We're chatting with John Reid yesterday from the World Gold Council. They got their Q2 gold report that was released yesterday morning. Shows continued record demand for gold. In fact, it was their best Q2 since they started doing the report in the early 2000s. Central banks still buying, but a little bit slower, perhaps. The question we asked if you were bullish on gold. Almost half of you said yes, looking good. And this morning, the futures market in gold is trading at new all-time highs. Third said it will fade. The rest simply on shore. Have your say. have your vote, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobuchle, Nicole Masekhla, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us an awesome rating in your podcatcher of choice, and we'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.